Well, welcome back to the podcast of episode 3 of Worldviews on Trial. My name is Chris, and my wife Angela and I are just so thrilled to have the privilege of being the leading pastors here at Beloved City Church. And we just want you to know, no matter where you're at on your faith journey to know God, find freedom, discover purpose, and make a difference, you are welcome to come alongside us as we continue to grow a healthy faith community of Jesus followers right here in Nanaimo. As part of our online crew, hey, I'm just glad you're here today. I hope I have something that will help you out. We're in a brand new teaching series. If you're just joining us now, we're in week 3 of a series we call Worldviews on Trial, where we've been looking at some of the most prevalent worldviews and systems of belief in our world today and showing how they pale in comparison to the goodness, the truth, and beauty that Jesus offers us. And along the way, we've been walking through some of the key moments in the earliest parts of the Bible. But here's the big question I have for you today. I want to begin with this today. Who do you want to become? When you think about your life now and when you think about who you will be in 2 years, 10, 20, or even 30 years from today, what do you want to be true of you? I imagine for most of us, if we think about who we are now and who we want to be in the future, we would not be thinking of words like selfish, words like entitled, words like arrogant. We wouldn't be thinking of words like hateful. None of us want to become those kind of people. And what's crazy is I'm pretty sure nobody wants to become that kind of person ever. And which is why it's so crazy that when we look at the world around us, there are so many people who seem to still fit those descriptions a little too well. Why is that the case? How did they get there? They got there one choice and one decision at a time. Write this down if you're still taking notes today. The choices that we make today determine the person that you become tomorrow. The choices that you are making right now determine who you will become in the future. And you might relate to this, but when I was a young boy, I really, really wanted to be a good person, but more specifically, a superhero. Because like many of us, I grew up watching, you know, incredible heroes using their strength to protect those who couldn't protect themselves, incredible people sacrificing themselves for the greater good, standing against evil and injustices. I'm talking about people like, you know, Luke Skywalker from Star Wars, you know, and then when my kids were young, I'm talking about watching heroes like Captain America from The Avengers. I love it, right? I'm talking about people like Aragorn, son of Arathorn from Lord of the Rings, the greatest movie trilogy and fantasy series of all time, right? What about people like Avatar Aang, the last airbender, people like Goku from Dragon Ball Z? So all of that, these incredible hero shows and movies, like I really wanted to be like these heroes. But even though that's what I intended, I was actually deciding to become someone very different than that. Like I think back to when I was younger. I have a younger sister and an older brother, and sometimes we would race home to try and get to the snacks first so that I could get the biggest cookie or largest helping of whatever it was that mom made that day. And you better believe it, I could run. And often I would beat the mom, grab that snack just in time, and I'd be so thrilled, even if it was the last cookie, because I got what I wanted. Like, crazy, right? But I think about all those days when I was playing with my toys in my room and my siblings really wanted to spend some time with me, and all I did was ignore them or kick them out. I think about the ways that I would push boundaries in my dating relationships, the ways that I would pick fights with people who I felt like disrespected me, the ways that I would skip out on prayer and Bible reading. Like, I would do the bare minimum to get by in school. I would lie to try to make myself look better and impress people. I think about all the choices that I was making, and I realized I intended to become a good person, but I was deciding to become someone I never wanted to be. And that's why, friends, it is so important for us to understand that, write this down, that it's our decisions, not our intentions, that shape who we become. It's literally your decisions, not your intentions, that shape who you are becoming. That sets the course for your future. And this idea has been true from the very beginning. A little bit later in this message, we're going to look at the story of Cain and Abel that is found in Genesis 4 in our Bibles in the Holy Scriptures. And if you're familiar with the Bible, or you're familiar with Christianity, you've probably heard of these guys. They're these two brothers who one of them was the first ever murderer and the other one was the first ever murder victim. And what these two guys represent are the two different paths that our lives can take. They represent the two different kinds of people that all of us will eventually become because of the choices that we are making right now. And as we look at our lives, as we look at the choices that they made, we're going to learn not just have good intentions, but we're going to figure out what it actually looks like for us to make better decisions so that we will become the people we actually want to be. Like, I'm talking briefly about a war of the worldviews, and I really could briefly just summarize this talk by saying how much better, how much truer, how much more beautiful God is than any other God. How much better, truer, and more beautiful the way of life that Jesus is inviting us into than any other way of life. Like, quite literally, we're talking about the idea of Christianity being better, truer, and more beautiful than individualism. Individualism is the worldview on trial today. Individualism is the belief that your needs and desires should be prioritized over the needs and desires of others. Now, what I'm going to say next, something that really, really matters. Like you can say you're a Christian with your words, and you can still show that you're actually an individualist with your actions. You can say one thing with your words, but you show what's actually real by the choices that you make and how you behave, how you live them out. That's why people have always said that actions speak louder than words. And when we talk about this idea of individualism, one of the things that we have to recognize is that we are existing in a world where the idea that you are better than everyone else is being forced on you from culture on the outside, and it is being forced inside of you by sin that's working on the inside of you. So culture is a warring on the outside, sin's working on the inside. And so let's just talk about culture for just a second. You've probably seen a movie, watched a show, listened to a song that is selling you on some idea that sounds like follow your heart, believe in yourself, do what makes you happy. Hey, if you don't look after yourself, then nobody else is going to, right? All of those ideas, they sound really good in theory. But when you actually put them into practice, it begins to condition you to become the kind of person that cares more about yourself than other people. Like, put yourself first. There's some good intentions there. I get it. So while those ideas are being forced on us from the outside, there's still sin working on the inside of us to accomplish the exact same purpose. And you might ask in this conversation, well, what is sin? See, sin is a disease of selfishness that drives us to disobey God and to do wrong to other people. And so, like, we are quite literally fighting a war on two separate fronts, culture on the outside, sin on the inside. So then how do we actually win this battle? The answer, friends, is the gospel of Jesus. The gospel simply means the good news, the truth that sets us free, and the Holy Spirit that is working inside of us to make us into who we are meant to be, because Christianity is still better. And what Christianity offers is the opposite of what individualism teaches. Individualism says this: your life will be better when you put yourself first. Here's what Jesus says. Jesus says, deny yourself, take up your cross and follow me. That's how you're going to find the life that is truly life-giving. And you may not know this, but there's this thing called the World Happiness Report. It's a survey that goes out every year where they study all sorts of different cultures and groups to figure out what actually makes people happy and how happy are different people in different parts of the world. And in the report from 2025, they found this, that acts of generosity predict happiness even more than earning a higher salary. Like, they found, like, over and over and over again that the more generous you are, the happier you will be. And when you follow Jesus, he will lead you to become a more generous person. See, Christianity is better, but it's also truer. In Mark 12, in the scriptures, Jesus was asked by a person, what is the most important command in all of the Bible? And Jesus responded by saying, the most important thing is this. He says, hear, listen, obey. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. So love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And the second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. See, what Jesus was teaching here is that if you want to live a full life, an abundant life, you put God first, you put others next, and you place yourself last. Now, what's really interesting is that culture and sin will try to convince you to actually flip the order, that you should come first. They should only obey God, like, if you want to, or if it's really helpful or something, and that you really can't love others until you first have loved yourself. And that idea has been so deeply rooted in our culture that's a thing that I hear a lot of Christians even say today, but it's not a thing that Jesus ever taught, friends. Jesus said, God first, others next, yourself last. Jesus taught that our love for others does not come from us loving ourselves. It actually comes from receiving the love from the Father that God has given to us. And he gives it to us, and so we share it with others. That's how we live the life that we were created for. Christianity is better, it's truer, and it's so much more beautiful, because the more you choose to put yourself first, the more selfish you become and the smaller your world gets. The more, though, that you choose to put others before yourself, the more loving and joyful you become. And so what we're going to do is we're going to look at Genesis chapter 4, and we're going to read about Cain and Abel, and we're going to watch them make these choices that led to an outcome that neither of them wanted. Genesis 4, verse 1. Adam made love to his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, with the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man. Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now, Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of his fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord, and Abel also brought an offering, fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering, he did not look with favor. So Cain was very, very angry, and his face was downcast. So you got these two brothers, and they're each doing their own thing. You've got Cain, who's a farmer, and you have Abel, who's a shepherd. And at some point in time, they both bring offerings to God. Cain brought some of his crops. Abel brought some of the first and best of his animals. Abel's offerings looked on with favor from God, but Cain's was not. Now, this is really important, friends, because the Bible does not say anything about God rejecting Cain. God simply did not reward Cain. Because here's the thing, because what gets rewarded gets repeated. What gets rewarded gets repeated. God actually cares a whole lot about what we do, and he cares about why we do what we do. So what was the difference between Cain's offering and Abel's? Well, the New Testament portion of our Bible tells us that Abel gave his offering as an act of faith, trusting in God. But as far as we know, Cain did not. And so when Cain brought his offering, he was doing it as more of a transaction. He was basically giving it to God so that God would give him something back. Like, if I do this for you, God, then you'll do this for me. And so if God were to reward Cain for what for that type of offering, Cain would think that's what his relationship with God was all supposed to be like. Because what gets rewarded gets repeated, and God was rewarding Abel because he wants to reward faith. God didn't reward Cain because he didn't want Cain to continue in that mindset or the attitude that says, if I do something for God, he's going to do something for me. And if we keep reading, we're told that the Lord said to Cain, because Cain was angry and his face was downcast, it says, right? He says this, why are you angry? It's the Lord to Cain. Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. See, in raising my kids, whenever they did something they're not supposed to do as their dad, I would tell them as clearly and as kindly as I could. I'd be like, son, daughter, what you're doing is not okay. And if you keep doing it, there's going to be consequences for your actions. Why? Because I love my kids enough to tell them that what they're doing is not okay. And then I would tell them, listen, but if you do what is right, if you do what I've asked you, everything is going to be so much better. And this is exactly what God is doing for Cain. He's coming to him and telling him as clearly and as kindly as he can that the steps he's taken, the choice he's making, are leading to him to a very dangerous place. And so, like, God is literally trying to warn him, don't keep doing what you're doing because it will wreck your life. But if you do what is right, I promise you, everything's going to get better. I think there might be some of you right now who are listening online who are on the edge of making that decision. Possibly it could wreck your life or the life of somebody else. And I think God wants to tell you today, why are you doing what you're doing? You don't have to keep walking in that direction. You can stop right now. You can change your ways and you can change your future because God loves you enough to shake you awake. Because sometimes we don't even realize the choice that we're making and the harm that comes from. God tells Cain that sin is crouching at your door. It wants to master you, but you don't have to let it if you simply do what is right. So then in verse 8, Cain goes to his brother Abel and he says, let's go out to the field. And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother and killed him. Like, Cain chose to let sin win. He ignored the warnings of God. He continued on his path of selfishness. And as a result, he killed his brother in cold blood. This right here is what happens when we let individualism take root in our lives. When we actually believe that what we want matters more than what other people want. All of a sudden, here's what's going on. Other people become insignificant in our lives. They become objects to be used for our pleasure or obstacles to be removed from our path. See, Christianity is better because what Jesus invites us into is a worldview that says you absolutely matter as an individual because you are made uniquely in the image of an amazing God, and so is everybody else. And so if you really want to live a full life and life abundant, then use the gifts that you have been given, not to tear others down, but to build others up, because that's the life that you were created for. That's the life that you were made for. But Cain, he chose to let sin win. And so the Lord says to Cain in verse 9, where's your brother Abel? I don't know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? The Lord says, what have you done? Your brother's blood, it cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and you are driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth. And God is saying to Cain, these are the consequences for your actions. The ground that is now soaked in the blood of your brother, it will not produce crops for you any longer. This is justice. But there's still mercy in there because the punishment for Cain could have been so much worse. But Cain, because of the entitlement and the individualistic perspective that he had, that and the entitlement that has been produced in his life, he still tries to play the victim here. Here's what he says in verse 13. He says, my punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land. I'll be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth. And whoever finds me is going to kill me. But see, God is a God of justice. And he loves to show mercy. And so that's exactly what he does for Cain. And God's love, it is big enough and is good enough to hold justice and mercy together, to bring grace and truth together at the same time. And so listen to God's response, because with truth, he tells Cain, not so, that's not the truth. Anyone who kills you will suffer vengeance seven times over. Then the Lord puts a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and he lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. See, God brought justice and mercy and truth and grace. He promised to protect him even though he didn't deserve it. Now, so what do we do with all of this? Like, how do we apply this to our lives today? And here, the answer is actually found in the New Testament portion of your Bible in 1 John 3, where John tells us that this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. So do not be like Cain, who belonged to the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? He did it because his own actions, his own choices were evil, and his brothers were righteous. How do we apply this message? We love one another. Well, what is love, you might ask? It is so much more than just good intentions or positive feelings. See, love according to Scripture is a choice to sacrifice yourself for the good of others. Love is not passive, it is active. So how do you apply this message to your life? It's really simple. Sacrifice yourself to serve someone else. Write this down. Sacrifice yourself to serve someone else, because love is choosing to sacrifice yourself for the sake of another. It's the opposite of individualism, my friends. By definition, it is about putting the needs of others before your own. So whatever that looks like for you, do something. Give up your time. Give up your comfort. Give up your convenience today, tomorrow, this week. Do something good for another human being. And it doesn't have to be big or crazy. It can be small. Just be consistent, because the choices that you make today determine the person that you become in the future. It's our choices, not our intentions, that shape the people that we become. So choose to love. Because the more that you choose to love, the more loving you will become, the more like Jesus you will be, and the less like Cain you'll be. Who do you want to be today and in your future? I imagine for all of us, if we had to choose one of those paths, to be like Jesus or to be like Cain, we would choose to be like Jesus. Who is Jesus, someone might ask? He is the love of God in human form, who walked this earth, sacrificed himself, laid down his life on the cross for others so that we, you and I, could have freedom and forgiveness in his name. This is why, friends, Christianity is so much better, truer, and more beautiful than anything else, because Jesus is better than anything else. And so let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now, so grateful for all that you've already done for us. I pray that you'd speak to the hearts of all of us today, that you would help us to see where we've been choosing wrong, and you would help us to choose love, to give up what we want for the good of others. And as we do, that you would make us more like your son, Jesus, that you'd make us people of love who see the good and who do what is right, who live, give, and serve like Jesus. We trust you. We choose to follow you. And it's in your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Hey, thank you for jumping online with episode 3. I'm looking forward to ending the next episode with you again. Hey, would you like, subscribe, share this with somebody who this might be a blessing to today? We'll see you soon.